Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
We were talking about learning pods and other creative ways parents are preparing to manage the complexities of schooling this fall. The same question faced school districts across the state. How exactly to handle things in September, which is a mere 2 weeks away. Here is Boston Mayor Marty Walsh yesterday at City Hall.
We have a COVID pandemic, and we have a crisis of race inequity. We have to get this right. Our kids are depending on us doing this. These are safety issues for many of our children. We have to meet those needs from the first day school begins, or those students will suffer. We can't, and we're not going to let that happen.
So WBUR education reporter Carrie Young has joined us for the hour, is still with us. And for the rest of the show today, we will be taking your calls on schools and reopening with Brenda Caselius, superintendent of the state's largest school district, the Boston Public Schools. Call us. Are you a parent, student, or teacher in Boston? What are your questions for the superintendent? Folks outside the city, what's your district doing? Have they decided? Are you concerned? Share your thoughts. What are you thinking about as we creep towards September? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Superintendent Brenda Caselius, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's so great to speak with you today.
So I want to begin with a very practical question. We are seeing reports in the last couple of hours that Boston is planning on delaying the school start date from September 10th to September 21st. Just want to clarify those reports. Is that the case? Can you confirm that new start date?
Yes, we are planning on doing a September 21st start date to give us some time to be able to have teachers be prepared and to get in the classrooms, welcome students and parents back through student conferences, virtual student conferences, and to then walk our buildings and make sure that they're ready.
So what will that mean timing-wise for everyone involved? Have dates shifted for everyone? And will you still phase in who comes into the building if any students come in?
So we have yet to still make the decision on what that looks like in terms of remote option for parents, which they'll always be able to choose a remote option, as well as our hybrid model and what that will look like, whether that would be a slower phase-in with younger students or a special population of students, or whether we would try to do a full hybrid when we return. And the reason that is because we really want to watch the science a little bit more these next couple of weeks and be able to adjust if we need to.
So Superintendent, I want to clarify on that because this has been a little bit confusing, I think, in a number of districts. Each district must report a set of plans to the state by close of business tomorrow. But that doesn't mean that, for example, the Boston Public Schools have determined which scenario in that plan you are going to use on September 21st. Is that correct?
Well, the commissioner asked us to actually turn in three different plans, one for all in person, one for all remote, and one that's a hybrid. And so then what he has asked us to do is to indicate our preferred model, fully understanding that at any point in the year, we may move from one model to the next. And he is wanting to make sure we're prepared for all of the above in our preparations.
And what is your preferred model that you're telling the state?
So currently right now, the science is indicating that we would be able to open up hybrid. That is where we're at, but that doesn't mean that the science may not change and we would need to go full remote. And we just don't know what that hybrid exactly will look like in terms of if we would open for just a subset of population of students who have high needs or whether that would be a phased in or by grade level. We're still determining that.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Are you a Boston Public School parent, family member, teacher, or maybe in another district where you're also wondering how this is going to work for your family, for your child, for your school community? If you have questions for Superintendent Brenda Caselius, call us. We will take them. Superintendent, you probably saw Adrian Walker's column in the Globe this week saying it is time for the Boston Public Schools to make a decision one way or another. And I do wonder about that. You know, people have to plan, and we're only a couple of weeks away from September. Now, obviously, you've added 11 days, which will give some buffer there. But when will families really know what they can expect? You know, do you know, is there a drop-dead date by which you will make a final decision about how it's going to work when you start?
Well, again, you know, I did say that this is an evolving and emerging issue with the science. We know that we've had seen some uptick in our numbers the past couple of weeks here. I am working closely with the mayor, as you alluded to earlier, as well as the Boston Health Commission and Chief Marty Martinez. And then also, you know, just recently, the governor issued just a few days ago new guidance around opening. So, you know, these things continue to change. However, I do recognize, and parents told us in their survey, that they want to have predictability and certainty. So we are anticipating to be able to make this decision rather soon. It's hard for me to put an absolute day on it, but I do understand the uncertainty. There is an urgency. We do know that they want to plan. Teachers want to know, and principals want to know. And so, you know, we are attempting to make this decision as soon as possible as we can.
What do you say to listeners out there who may be in your school district? I know that in your heart you understand this, who are sitting there thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I've got so much I've got to figure out. What is your message to them right now over these next couple of weeks as we continue to follow the science and sort things out?
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be weeks. You know, I think it's going to be sooner than that. And so I just don't want to pin down an absolute date, because I am working in collaboration with the mayor, and there's a number of indicators we're looking at. As I said, the governor just put out his guidance. And so it's, you know, I would say they won't be waiting weeks.
Superintendent, you just referred to the governor putting out this new guidance, these guidelines on reopening, which seems to have been a surprise, at least to most players. Were you surprised by those new guidelines? And how are they going to affect even what you turn into the state tomorrow? Have you had to shift anything as a result of those coming out yesterday?
Well, we're in the yellow zone now that he has, which is, you know, to open hybrid or remote with exception for those who have exceptions. And so that means that if we're in remote only, we would need to, I think, provide additional evidence on why we're in remote only. You know, that could shift some of our planning as we think and as we go forward. But, you know, we are getting new guidance from the state a lot. You know, typically every week there's something new that's coming through. We just got some guidance around athletics. So I haven't even had a chance to go through it all yet. So there's you know, it is just constantly evolving, unfortunately. And I know that's very hard for the public to hear. It's also very hard for us as we try to lead and provide information to the community. So I fully, fully understand. And I want to provide these answers as soon as we possibly can.
I want to talk about risk calculus for a little bit, because as we listen to conversations held by various superintendents and school committees and between teachers and parents, it feels like there's kind of a continuum of how much risk is worth it. You know, from no amount of risk of getting the infection is worth it, kids need to learn remotely, to we got to balance some risk because there are other risks of loss. And I'm thinking about shortfalls of remote learning. Is there some point at which this risk calculus from the losses of remote learning, of lack of other services, of teachers not necessarily being able to have eyes on kids to catch kids who may fall through the cracks in other types of danger, domestic violence or parental neglect, et cetera, where that starts to outweigh the risks of contagion or counterbalance the risks of contagion? How do you think about that?
Well, you heard the mayor talking about this in his press conference just the other day, and obviously this weighs very heavy on my heart and on the heart of the whole community, really, is that we know that kids who are more vulnerable are impacted at a much greater rate, as well as we know that our students who have disabilities. I was listening to a community call just on Saturday, and there was a parent on there who it was just heart-wrenching to hear her talk about how challenging it was for her personally at home with her child because of the regression that was happening and the support that she needed. And so there are there is a huge need out there for students who didn't engage with us over the spring or are impacted negatively now with their learning. And this is especially true, the new study out today, and around the younger students and the impacts at the early childhood grade levels, you know, students who are age 3 through age 10, and just their own child development. So certainly balancing that with the contagion and the community spread is important. But we believe, and the science has said, that if we follow these guidelines and protocols around wearing a mask and saying, you know, having the airflow, staying 6 feet apart and washing hands regularly and doing the health checks and not coming to school if you're sick, that seems to be mitigating the risk to where the balance tends to be where you could open for at least special populations. We know that internationally there are countries who are doing this well and are able to mitigate that risk.
So I'd like to go to the phones here, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We have Lou on the line from East Boston. Lou, you are on with Superintendent Caselius.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You mentioned creative solutions. I went to a small public school in Mendon, Massachusetts, and we had a large outdoor space. Restaurants have been able to adapt and have outdoor seating. Have you thought of the idea of doing outdoor classrooms?
I have, and I was actually talking to, I think it's called the Hale Conservatory today, on a call with about 80 partners. And so Boston After School and Beyond did a pilot with us this summer to expand summer school options and to improve some of the coordination with the schools around academic enrichment to accelerate learning and mitigate learning loss. And some of those partners included some of our outdoor partners. I'm trying to think of the island name now. I don't know why I'm losing it. That's here. And then also the conservatory. So, and then our schools have gardens and they have outdoor spaces. And we are very much encouraging outdoor play and outdoor spaces because we know that it's safer in those areas.
Superintendent Caselius, you may know that riding along with me on the show today is WBUR education reporter Carrie Young, and I want to talk about some of the race and equity issues. Carrie has some data from a new poll, a WBUR poll, about the racial difference in who feels it's time to go back to school in person, who wants hybrid learning, and who wants all remote. Carrie, can you lay out a little bit of that data for us, please?
Yeah, I mean, let's see. I mean, among people of color, 40% of the respondents said that they do prefer the fully online learning model. And that is compared to 28% of white respondents. And, you know, some of this data does break down to when you compare like Western Massachusetts versus the Boston area and suburbs and things like that. You know, the highest number of people who want fully in person are in that Western Massachusetts area where some of those infection rates are a little bit lower. It also breaks down on party lines too. Significantly more Democrat voters said that they would like fully remote schooling as opposed to some kind of hybrid or even all in person.
So, Superintendent Caselius, you've talked a couple of times already in our conversation here about issues of race, of equity, of not leaving kids behind. What are the unique challenges for the Boston Public Schools right now, and how do we get at these differences in preferences based on racial identities that are disproportionately affected by this pandemic in general?
Yeah, so I thought of it's Thompson Island, so got that right.
I thought it was Thompson, but I wasn't sure, and there were a lot of islands.
You know, I'll tell you, I got a lot of information going in, but and a little bit of a senior moment there. So, you know, this is the unique challenge that we have in front of us, because you see that the persons of color number at 40% is not matched to where the need is in terms of typical achievement gaps, disparities, the need for additional childcare, the need for services that are provided to many of our children. And so, and then the white families at 28%, I believe, you know, and these are statewide numbers, right? They're not just Boston.
Yes.
Right. So statewide, you know, if you think about it statewide and concentrated poverty that we have here in Boston as well, and the nature of our facilities compared to the nature of the facilities across the state, you know, it could be different in some of our more suburban communities where they've had, you know, HVAC systems, or they may have different experiences and advantages and privileges that aren't afforded to our students here in Boston and the experience. And I think this is also true that our students of color, they've just been impacted more by COVID. You know, they have been impacted in housing. They've been impacted in food security. They've been impacted, you know, academically, and it's just a lot more impacts. And so it is such an incredible, complex challenge to balance this very, very difficult decision because of all of that.
So, Superintendent Caselius, we have a caller on this, and it's a question I wanted to ask you, too, because there was a Globe article today suggesting that there are public health experts who think a hybrid model could be a public health disaster. And we have a caller we won't get to who I think was actually advocating a year off because the level of risk that a child could die. What is your response to this new news that some public health experts think hybrid could be disastrous?
Well, I think that the reason that they have said that is because of the time that's out of school and the potential that students could go to childcare and be in a different type of environment and then come back into the family pods that we have, you know, for their homeroom classes. And so I think that that's why they think that that could increase the spread. I don't really have an opinion about that other than to continue to look at the science and to continue to better understand it. And we believe that, and science has said that if we are able to put in place these protocols, then we are able to mitigate the risk to our students. And again, our students would come on Monday and Tuesday and then have the 3 days off and then not come again until the following Monday and Tuesday. And then we would do this deep cleaning in the space and do the deep cleaning on the weekends. So that's the protocols that we have. And of course, you know, we don't want students coming sick if they do come sick. And we have protocols, again, for that and requiring of testing to return to the environment.
Before we let you go, we've got about a minute left with you. I want to widen this out and ask you a little bit broader question. It's been a tumultuous first year for you. You've gotten support from a prominent group of Black ministers. You've been challenged for your management style. You've gotten pushback from principals on reforming the high schools in the way that you want to and in the pace that you want to. You're also managing a reopening in a global pandemic. There is a lot facing you. How are you balancing the health needs of everyone, the educational and reform goals that you have, the concerns of parents and teachers? How are you trying to keep that at all in balance?
Well, you know, the first year of a superintendency is always a challenge because you're getting to know a new community and you have a lot, you know, it's a big learning curve. And it's a large organization with 10,000 employees, and we count on each other quite a bit to build the team and to rally and get ready for our children in every instance, and just kind of keep our focus on equity and continue to work our strategic plan the best that we can. And then, you know, mitigate whatever we have to mitigate with this current pandemic crisis. It is a lot. There is a lot on the plate, but you just continue to lead and take the next step. The next right step is what I like to like to tell my team. No matter what comes at us, we just continue to take the next right step. And we have an incredibly talented team here at Boston Public Schools who care deeply about children, talented teachers who are passionate about our kids and around social justice and equity issues. And as long as we keep children at the center, we measure everything in child benefit, I think we're going to get there.
So that's Brenda Caselius, superintendent of the Boston Public Schools. Superintendent, I hope you'll come back and have additional conversations with us as your tenure continues.
I will certainly. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us. All right, so now I'm going to turn back to WBUR education reporter Carrie Young. Carrie, you've been with us the whole hour helping us make sense of this all, thinking about the fall, all we've heard on the show today in the last couple of weeks. What are the two or three most fundamental questions that schools need to answer before they open in September?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that we heard Dr. Caselius mention several times is like, we need to rely on the science, you know, and the state has come out with some of its own guidance, but, you know, it is up to the individual district. So they have to decide what their cutoff points are, you know, and I know like one of the big areas that school leaders are trying to balance right now are, you know, just how to, you know, make sure the needs of teachers and kids and their families are met in this time. I'm not sure if there is a perfect answer there, but that's still one of the big looming questions that I think a lot of people are having to figure out right now.
Carrie, there is so much tension here. It's political, it's personal, it's public health, and I don't know and haven't encountered anyone on any side of it for whom they're not feeling it in their heart and in their gut. Have you seen anything like this in your time reporting on education?
You know, I have not. I mean, this really just has so completely impacted the education system. I mean, I think one day that really sticks out to me is, you know, going into the Boston Public Schools building when it was shut down. It's usually a very active place. It's sort of a community building. And when COVID first shut everything down, I mean, no one was there. You know, everyone was sort of in emergency mode. This is just above and beyond any kind of emergency that I have seen here in Boston or even just my other reporting career elsewhere in the Southwest.
And in our last 15 seconds or so, is there a good course forward, or are we really just stuck with less bad options given the circumstances?
Yeah, I think there is not a definition for what is good in this sense. It's going to be community by community. So, and there's always room for a last minute change. So,
well, WBUR education reporter Carrie Young, it's been great to have you today. Thanks for riding along with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.